And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. I love the intro music. You got my producer back there, David.
Sure do.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, first off, shout out to you for breaking the Jeffrey Simmons news a week ago. Congrats on that. And what did you make of the deal for Jeffrey Simmons from his point of view and from the Titans' point of view as well?
Yeah, I think it's a great deal for both parties. You look, the Titans were able to keep it under $100 million, and they were able to get a little more wiggle room salary cap-wise by getting that number a little more manageable, that 10.7. So I think when you look at for Simmons' camp, it's a good deal just from the perspective of that high guaranteed money. One of the things, you know, his agent, Paul DeRussell, was focused on making sure that, you know, over the next few years, you know, everything is covered. And, I mean, you look, if Jeff doesn't play football anymore, you know, by the time the contract's done, he will have made $76 million. That is, as he said, generational money. And then the fact that over 70% of it was guaranteed, it's just a great situation for both parties. I definitely would commend, you know, Rand Carthon and the Titans, along with Paul DeRussell and Simmons camp. They did an excellent job.
Do you feel like, TD, basically just getting this in before Quinnen Williams in particular gets his deal done also is a money saver for the Titans?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think you also tack in Dexter Lawrence as well, you know, with the Giants. It's just like any other position, you know, with contracts. One sets the floor for the other. So now the Jets, Giants, they're on the hook. They have to beat Simmons' deal. And that's kind of how it works. So, yeah, it was good for the Titans to get out in front of it for sure.
TD, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, there's a lot of, I guess, differing opinions on him in terms of where exactly he should go in the first round. And we've talked to you about him before. Is he clearly number one to you in terms of the receivers available in this draft, or would you go somewhere else with that distinction?
Yeah, I think he's clearly number one. Now, my favorite receiver in this draft is Zay Flowers, but you look at Smith-Njigba, the body control, the route running, the consistent hands, the yards after catch, all of that factors into him being a guy. He could play the slot, he could play outside. I think it's pretty clear that he's the best. You know, and anytime you have Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and their receiver coach, you know, saying that he's the best out of the three Ohio State guys, that says a lot.
So that said, is he the best enough to warrant taking him at 11?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that really depends on what's on the board. Good testament for what the Titans have been able to do just as far as set themselves up to where they could go multiple positions at 11. They don't feel like they have to go for a tackle. So he's one of the ones that should definitely, because he's the best at a position of need, so they should absolutely, you know, consider him at 11.
TD, how do you feel about the Titans right now as presently constructed at edge rusher? Obviously, we know Dupree is gone. They bring in Arden Key. You've got Harold Landry, who the last time we saw him play was incredibly productive, but he is coming off the torn ACL. Rashad Weaver is in the mix, too. What do you make of how the Titans are stacked up right now at edge rusher, and I guess how much of a priority would that be if you were in charge of the draft for the Titans and maybe find somebody else in that position group as well?
Yeah, it's solid but unproven. I think, you know, you factor in Arden Key as well. That signing, he's with the money that he's gotten, it would be reasonable to expect him to be a three-down player. So you put him in there. I think they're solid. You have to also look at the fact that you could bump Danico Autry outside. But I would, by all means, be looking. You know, you got Keon White. You got Tyree Wilson. You know, those are guys that could possibly fall to 11, and they're solid players. But then you look a little bit later, you know, you got a guy like Eric Hall out of Auburn. You got Will McDonald IV. I know they have interest in both of them. So I would definitely look at some of the top guys and just the whole position, because you could always you can never have enough pass rushers. That's the way I look at it. They could use more because it's relatively unproven. This, as you mentioned, Landry coming back from injury, Weaver is still ascending. So that's kind of what you're looking at.
TD, I feel like for the most part, we talk about quarterbacks, the quarterbacks in the draft, in this draft, more than anything on a weekly basis now, which speaks to, you know, the fact that it is possible, right, that the Titans are doing their homework and they're not just doing it to do it. Like, it's possible that they come away from this thing with a quarterback. And you've got S2 scores coming out. You hear about this interview or that interview. We all know about the workouts and everything. During this process, has your mindset on any or more than one of them changed significantly based on the information that's come out?
No, not really. I've remained steadfast that C.J. Stroud, in my opinion, is the best in this class. I love the playmaking ability that Bryce Young has and just the calmness under pressure. He's always cool. So that's something that you look at, you know, the wild cards with Hendon Hooker and the injury situation. A little back and forth just as far as, like, where you should select him. But he's clearly one of the top options, and Anthony Richardson is just – continue to have that potential that you have with him is just, that's what's so tempting. That's what makes you want to bring him in as your guy. But, you know, high risk, high reward, that's the thing you have to look at there. And then Will Levis, he's probably the fifth, in my opinion, out of that group. And I've remained the same with him. Is you just got to figure out, okay, are you getting the 2021 version or the 2022? And that's, you know, you got to get inside, you know, why there was a difference there.
TD, when you look at Jalin Hyatt, we all see the speed that he had at Tennessee. Obviously, he wins the Biletnikoff and had a great year last year. But there's the concern about the press coverage part of it. Can he get off of it at the NFL level? All those things. When you watch Jalin Hyatt, what do you see? And I guess how concerned are you about some of the press coverage things that people bring up with him as well?
Yeah, what I see with him is what I call easy gas, man. That guy, he accelerates really well, hits that top speed, and he's someone that I think, you know, you just got to move him around the formation and find ways to, you know, get him those free releases. That's the main thing. You're right about the press coverage. You have to wonder how he's going to be against that, you know, because there's some dogs in the league, man, whether it's, you know, Tre'Davious White, J.R. Alexander. You know, we can go on and on with corners that are really good. A.J. Terrell, I mean, there's a lot. So you want to see how he would be able to do against some of those top-tier guys. But the fact of the matter is that dude will take off for you, and he will make the deep catches. But you look at some of these games, you know, he could run that slant too and catch that. So there's a lot that you could do with him, but I just think you have to really scheme him up to – you know, make sure that he's able to showcase what he has. Just, and when I say that, like I said, it goes back to center man in motion, you know, having him, you know, line up off the ball, those type of things.
No, that's a good point. I mean, he had, you know, his big plays and things like that. But he also, he ran that slant to goal line and took the hit from the safety and held on too. Things
exactly.
Like that, right? Yeah. No, he's I think a little more well-rounded than some people think. Do you feel like at that position, like how important, because Vrabel has talked about speed, we all know that this team, you know, needs that badly, needs like more speed, but also like I love a guy like Cedric Tillman. I know that he doesn't exactly fit the speed mold, but he does, I think, fit what they've done at outside receiver. Like how important do you think it is that just that aspect of it, just that someone who can just take the top off of defense is for the Titans to come away of this draft with?
Yeah, I think it's critical for them. And the thing is, you know, you look at these guys that have speed, but I tell you, it's just you have to be able to utilize that speed quickly. And when I say that, what I mean is be able to come in, get comfortable, get settled in so you could play fast, play to that speed. Because a lot of times you'll see these speed guys come to the league and you're like, yo, what happened? And it's because their head is spinning, you know, having to convert a route against this coverage and so on and so forth. So they're thinking so much so they can't play fast. So I think, you know, along with the physical speed, you got to have that mental processing ability. And that's something that, You know, you look at a guy like a Tyler Scott, you know, who did a lot there at Cincinnati, ran an assortment of routes. You know, he's someone that I think could come in and have an instant impact. And that's the main thing. I believe this year they're going to look at more than just, you know, the size of the receiver, because they're placing a premium on how fast they could be.
TD, last thing for you here. What did you make of the Odell Beckham Jr. deal to the Ravens? 1 year, $15 million, up to $18 million in the contract as well. What do you make of that deal and the fit in Baltimore?
Yeah, my first thing was wow when I saw the numbers. they signed Nelson Aguilar as well. I think, you know, they're making a dedication to getting that receiving core better. I hope it is, but my thing is, will Lamar be there? And that's the main part of it. I love the fact that they have a new offensive coordinator, you know, and Todd Monken coming in there, so they could get rid of some of those, you know, very elementary passing concepts they had before with Greg Roman. So I'm hoping to see things take off, man. That's really what I make of it. And it's going to be interesting watching that happen. I just, you know, want to see how Odell Beckham Jr. Reacts to, you know, being in what is traditionally a run-heavy team. So we'll see what happens there.
Daron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Daron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the draft. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for the first three rounds, coming up on Thursday, April 27th and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, D&M Development, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. Also, make sure you check out Nashville's best draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can join us on location as we broadcast live from Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings, located at 3300 Gallatin Pike in Nashville, coming up on Friday, April 28th. So looking forward to that as well. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How about that? TD thinking Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the best wide receiver in the draft, clearly number one in the draft, and the comments from the coaches saying of Olave and of Garrett Wilson and all these wide receivers that have come out of Ohio State the last couple of years, maybe Smith-Njigba could be the best of all of them.
Well, let me just tell you, as someone who went to Ohio State's pro day a couple weeks ago, that will not stand for long.
No, it
because
will not.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is better than Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yes.
So here you go, Titans. This is what you got to do. Go 0-17 and get both of them next year. Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. Somehow get the top two picks in the draft for being 0-17. Trade a bunch of other stuff to get the other pick and just get that. If you get Caleb Williams thrown to Marvin Harrison Jr., you will win 2.0. Super Bowls, just too many Super Bowls to count.
Burrow and Chase 2.0.
Yeah,
out there.
There you go.
Be good stuff. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, I love the I do really, in all seriousness, love the rule of the, you know, in college you got to stay 3 years and then you can go play. He is the one example of guys that are like, yeah, you can probably play right now. You
just come out and play. He's also an example. It's interesting, and I don't think it's going to happen, but he's an example of a guy who could absolutely do what Ja'Marr Chase did,
yep,
which is, you know what, I'm going to work out this fall and not take hits from a bunch of corners who want to prove themselves and safeties by taking my head off, and yep, I'm going to go, you know, I'll be the top non-QB picked in the draft next year. He could do that. I don't think he's going to, but it's something to keep an eye on.
It would definitely be something to keep an eye on there. TD also – looking at the quarterbacks, he's got Levis ranked fifth. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit with Jared earlier. Like, I do feel like a lot of Titans fans really don't like the idea of drafting Will Levis. Some feel the same way about Anthony Richardson. You know, the quarterback part of this is going to be interesting right down to the wire. We read off a piece from ESPN earlier that Matt Miller put out there of the Titans have not come out and said that they're trying to move up in the draft yet, which I'm like, well, be a pretty poor strategy if they did. So, yes, I believe that the Titans have not said that. But there has been a lot of smoke around the quarterback position. And it doesn't mean that a quarterback is coming in the first round, but I do think, you know, we've talked about the idea of taking a quarterback before with the Titans. We talked about it last year, you know, with Tannehill. Was it the time right to reset and maybe go after one of these guys in the first round? But I don't think any of us really ever thought that the Titans would take a quarterback in the first round last year. And then we know what happened. Malik Willis fell to the third round. You took a flyer on him, all those things. It does feel like it's a legitimate discussion and a very legitimate possibility for the Titans that they could go that route this year.
David on the text line says, I concur with Chip. Great takes, Joe!
Three exclamation points.
Lots of relatives weighing on the text line.
Yep.
And now I'm led to believe I wouldn't take any QB in this draft. That's the thing. I mean, if you do what I just did, you could – I mean, I'm going through the team-by-team first-round picks in the Super Bowl era. It is – it's actually a fantastic list. We'll have to do this sometime next week. It's great, man. Like, the utter – I mean, even your Packers, by the way.
Yep.
Obviously, we know they got – like, the Colts drafted two great quarterbacks in a row, which is very – I mean, the Packers – so Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, before that, their first-round quarterbacks were Rich Campbell in 1981, Jerry Taggi in 72, and Don Horn in 1967. By the way, Rich Campbell could not beat out Lynn Dickey, the great Lynn Dickey, whose jersey I used to have. Don't ask me why. But, no, if you go through this stuff, you realize just how easy it is to make a terrible choice and how hard it is to make a good one.
Well, let's think, I mean, just from the Titans, right? I mean, you've made three choices if you're the Titans in the first round of the draft with quarterbacks. Vince Young, Jake Locker, Marcus Mariota. You know, Vince Young did win Rookie of the Year.
Steve McNair now.
I'm just saying with the Titans, but yes, before that.
Yes. He played for the Titans, but technically he was with the Oilers.
Right.
Okay, well, while you're talking about that, can you name the other two quarterbacks taken in the first round by this franchise in the Super Bowl era?
From the Titans franchise?
Yes.
No, I cannot.
They're both, you know, I forgot but that Jim Everett is one of them. Traded to the Rams, but then also Dan Pastorini. And that was actually good. I mean, that was a good pick. He was a good quarterback in the 70s. They just couldn't beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
And then Bud Adams fired everybody.
That did happen. But it's hard. I mean, to your point, it's hard to find those guys, but I mean, it does feel like that could at least be something the Titans consider here. Now, you know, we've talked about this. Like the question I threw out there yesterday, if it ends up being an offensive lineman, what are the reaction of the fan base if that happens? Like, if it's you get through this whole thing and it's like, and the Titans have drafted Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State to be their next left tackle. Like, a lot of people weighed in yesterday and said, great, yeah, go do that. Go get your offensive lineman figured out and you can figure out quarterback later. Now, I have seen the you could go figure out quarterback later. Caleb Williams is available next year, but go make the team better around the Titans right now. I'm like, well, those two things don't really add up. Like,
right, exactly.
You're going to get Caleb Williams. You're probably going to be number one overall.
You're fanking or you're trying to win. Yeah, and Vrabel's not. You know, I said the 0-17 thing. And Wes says if the Titans went 0-17, Vrabel and Rand would be fired.
Maybe
Rand.
Not only Rand's
Rand wouldn't be fired after this. He didn't build this team, right? Now, Vrabel, I guess, could be. Unless it was the 0-17 that everybody wanted.
Well, could be. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe Adam Strunk has proved she's not afraid to fire somebody.
That's true. And we're not afraid to be wrong.
We are not.
Say there's no way she's going to do it. Look, the much higher likelihood, we're getting a ton of mileage out of the quarterbacks, which is great. I'm enjoying the conversation.
I am too.
But – yeah, it's still, to me, way more likely that they are trying to be good this year and they're going to be boring and use their picks. And now if they find a way to trade down and get more picks, that'd be great. But they'll probably take their six picks and try to be better, and then they'll probably go like 9-8 next year. I'm sorry.
What do you think Jalin Hyatt is at the NFL level? And we know the speed. We know there's big playability. Is he down in, down out? Three down wide receiver in the league that can, yes, take the top off the defense, but can make your ordinary 7-yard, I need to have a first down here play at the NFL level. What do you think he is?
That's a great question. Like, again, I will just comparing two guys who play at the same, you know, same place, play together. I would take Tillman over Hyatt in general. Now, when you say that, it's like, okay, but what system? What are your actual needs and all that stuff? Even like for the Titans purposes, I would take Cedric Tillman. But I think TD put it well, the easy gas. I mean, his acceleration, we saw it last year. There were times when, yeah, he was schemed open, and it was like, how is he 20 yards But there are other times where people try to cover him and they couldn't. So let's – and I agree. I think that was a great point by TD. Go back and watch some of his touchdowns. He also had – he had to take big hits and win, you know, and win 50-50 balls and things like that. I think he got stronger. I think that needs to continue. I just like his demeanor. I think that he had a great – I think so much of this is mental, and it's demeanor and approach. And I think he had a great humbling in Heupel's first year, and that slingshotted him into last year and into this draft. So I think he's going to make a mark in the NFL. I do worry sometimes about press coverage and just the difference in playing in this league against some of those DBs. In terms of will he be like a great receiver? You know, it's hard for me to project that, but I think he's going to be a good pick for a team and he's going to make some big plays in this league.
I think he's going first round. I think he's going to end up going at the very back part of the first round because I think the speed is going to be tempting enough where somebody's like, yeah, we're taking that guy.
Yeah.
I think it'll happen probably. You know, I said Giants earlier. That could be a landing spot, but somewhere in the bottom part of the first round, I think he's that's where he's going.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll go ahead of Tillman. I think he'll go late first round. I'll be shocked if he isn't really impressing teams in interviews and all that. So, yeah.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. You are listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. It is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on a lot of big games this weekend, 615-737-1025. The NBA playoffs getting underway. After tonight, I guess we'll have these stupid play-in games out of the way. We can actually get on with the playoffs. That'd be nice. That's happening this weekend. Preds in action for their final game tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get into all that coming up. Quick standings update. In the competition, Michelle Knezovic 4-2 once again with her lock this week. So another good week for Michelle. She's gone 4-2 with her lock every single week so far in the competition.
Pretty good.
I was 3-3, no lock this past week. And Joe Rex Road 0-6, no lock this past week in Weekend Winners.
I mean,
it's a tough one.
Now, granted, I'm throwing out random baseball over-unders, but come on. I can't get one.
And you got the other one. Over-under for you was tough last week. You had Phillies, Reds.
Yeah, and they hit seven.
They hit seven.
I hit the under on seven, yeah.
So it's a tough one.
Just one. It just, you know what? To me, it's just another good reminder. Keep those wagers small.
The standings in the competition. Michelle Knezovic in first place, 16-8, 4-0 on her locks. Good for 20 points. Myself, 14-10, 1-3 on my locks for 15 points. So she's already built up a pretty decent lead in this competition. And Joe Rexrow, 10-14, 1-3 on his locks, 11 points. Let's try to avoid the 0-6.
Let's keep trudging forward, I guess.
Yeah.
Just if I can just opt out at any point, let me know.
David James is in for Michelle Knezovic today. We begin with the Predators and the Avalanche tonight at Bridgestone Arena, the season finale for the Predators. They got the win last night in very fancy fashion from Juuso Parsonen against Minnesota between the legs in overtime. They take on Colorado tonight, who is playing for the division championship. David James, we begin with you. Straight up on the puck line, Preds and Avalanche tonight.
Hey, before you start, we'd really appreciate if you make some crappy picks this week.
No,
it's Michelle's fault she didn't get us her picks.
Hey,
I think she needs to pay for it.
Exactly.
Look, I gave her the opportunity last night, told her what we were doing. No picks.
So help us out, David.
Well, okay. So I'll do it for you guys for this one pick, and I'll go Preds.
There we go. Preds tonight against the Avalanche.
I don't think that's a bad pick.
I do. I'm going Colorado Avalanche tonight in the game. Look, it's for the division. I think Colorado is going to come out, and you'll see top-level Colorado tonight, and I think that'll be too much for this Predators group. So I will go with Colorado tonight in the season finale. Joe Rexrow, the Preds and the Avalanche tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, Mr. 0-6 says, Preds, this is their playoff. This is everything. This is their last chance. They can play loose and free. They can try a bunch of Juuso Parsonen weird moves around the net. And I just think that they're going to – they look at this as a chance to screw things up for the Avs. The Avs can lose the division. They lose tonight. I think the Preds are going to pull it off.
Going with the Preds tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. We move to Sunday's highly anticipated matchup between the Grizzlies and the Lakers. Grizzlies minus 3.5 in game one coming up on Sunday. I'll get started on this one. Give me the Grizz. Give me the Grizz minus the 3.5. I think it'll be a good game. I think Grizz will win by about 5 on Sunday. So I will take the Grizzlies minus the 3.5 in game one against the Lakers. Joe Rexroad, the Grizzlies and the Lakers coming up from FedEx Forum on Sunday.
Apologies to David and your Mike Miller jersey. I'm going to go Lakers. I think, you know, sometimes you see this. It's like, well, I guess it's sort of like the first four of the NCAA tournament. You know, the Lakers have had to play this week. The Grizzlies have been off, a little bit of rust. I think the Lakers get them in game one, and then the Grizzlies slowly can take control from there.
David James, the Grizzlies and the Lakers in game one on Sunday.
Whoop that trick. Go Grizz.
Going with Grizz in the matchup. Minus the 3.5 to take down the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday at FedEx Forum. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So I'm with you. I don't love the playing stuff, but you know what? I'm gonna have a couple of those on my ledger today. Thunder, T-Wolves. T-Wolves at home, minus 5.5. And this is to get the 8 seed. Give me the T-Wolves and giving those points at home.
So going T-Wolves minus 5.5 against the Thunder coming up today in the play-in game. David James, your first individual selection.
I'm going with the Cavs minus 5.5. I believe in Darius Garland. And he's just Nashville native. Got to go with the Nashville native.
Going Cavs minus 5.5 against the Knicks coming up in game one. That could be a pretty intriguing series. Looking forward to that one.
I'm in on that series.
Yes. I will start with this ridiculous play-in game as well. My beloved Miami Heat taking on the Chicago Bulls tonight. Heat are favored by 5.5 at home. That ain't happening. Give me the Bulls plus the 5.5 and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Chicago Bulls plus the 5.5 tonight as they take on the Miami Heat. Secretly, kind of rooting for the Bulls to win tonight, so the Heat will make some changes, but I think for sure that they will cover the plus 5.5, so I will take Bulls plus 5.5 against the Heat. David James, your second individual selection.
So I'm going to also go in with a playing game, the T-Wolves. My favorite basketball player from the Memphis Grizzlies, two of them actually, Slo-Mo, and the captain clutch, Mike Conley, will go over, I believe it is 228.5, over 228.5.
So going the over 228.5, T-Wolves and Thunder coming up tonight. I like that one. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Same pick you just made, Robbie, except not a lock for me. But, yes, I like the Bulls getting that 5.5.
So the Bulls plus 5.5 against the Miami Heat tonight. My second individual pick, I will stick in the NBA. We'll go Cavs minus 5.5 against the Knicks. I like the Cavs big in game one. I think Donovan Mitchell goes nuts. So give me the Cavs minus 5.5 against the Knicks. Our third round of individual selections. Joe Rexroad, go ahead and kick us off with your third pick.
Warriors, Kings, game one. Pick 'em. Warriors lock. Lock it down. Warriors win game one. Establish themselves. And Warriors, Grizzlies. Right?
Mm.
Round two.
I love that.
Again,
love that.
Let's have it. Let's have it.
So going Warriors in game one, a pick'em against the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento's not played in the playoffs in a very long time, so that place is going to be jumping. But Joe has, I believe, the Warriors going 16-0 in the playoffs and winning another NBA title.
Yeah, they'll lose a couple games.
Okay, good. We'll see what happens there. For my third individual pick, give me the Tampa Bay Rays minus 1.5 against the Blue Jays. They're 13-0, and they keep things rolling today. I'll take the Rays minus the 1.5 on the road against Toronto. So give me the Rays to continue their run at history today and move to 14-0 minus the 1.5. David James, your third individual selection.
So I'm going to go to this Clippers versus Suns matchup. Now I am a big on the campaign of the Suns winning it all this year, but not this time. The first game is going to go to the Clippers plus 7.5.
Clippers plus the 7.5. Against the Phoenix Suns coming up in a series that may be the most intriguing series in the first round. So looking forward to that one coming up and getting started this weekend as well. David James, go ahead and kick us off with your fourth and final individual selection.
This will be my lock. I'm the over 238.5 sack Golden State, baby. Mm. Lock, guarantee.
Two over-unders. I love it.
Kings and Golden State, and the number was 238.5?
Yes.
238.5 over on the over-under. So, I mean, I can see that definitely happening. You know, if Golden State puts up 55 and a quarter like they did the other day, I can really see it happen.
Yep.
Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Yeah, and I'm with David on this one big time. I'm big on the Clippers getting the 7.5. And I think it's a great series. I think this is the best series of the first round, and this is two teams that really could win the whole thing playing in the first round. You don't see that too often. But give me the Clippers in game one.
For my final individual selection, give me the highly anticipated matchup of the Buffalo Sabres and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight in a game that means absolutely nothing. But give me the Sabres -1.5 against Columbus. Sabres end up closing out their season on a positive note. Two games taking place in the NHL today, the Preds and the Avalanche, and then the mighty Buffalo Sabres and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Joe, I know you're looking forward to watching Columbus and Buffalo play tonight. Your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be at Bridgestone, but it'll be streaming on my phone for sure, man. You can count on that. You know how I like to watch phone.
Sports. Oh, yes. Big Sabres watcher, too. A lot of Buffalo Sabres hockey that we're going to consume. Lots of interesting games this weekend. All of us, me and David going with the Grizz, but you think LeBron and the Lakers sneak up on them in game one?
Yeah, I think they get them in game one, and I think then people freak out, like always happens in these seven-game series, and the Grizz will figure it out. But I think the rust factor might be a little bit of too much for the Grizz in this first game.
It happened last year when they played the T-Wolves. So
yeah, exactly. Yep.
Very
exactly.
Possible.
Caleb on the text line says Memphis wins by 10 against the Lakers coming up on Sunday.
I'm sure our Lakers texter will soon tell us how
the sweep.
Memphis will not score a bucket in the game.
Big opportunity for this Grizzlies team. I mean, Ja Morant, we saw it last year. That team took off, and then the Warriors were too much in the playoffs. It would be really cool to see them meet in the playoffs again. We could have some more Dylan Brooks drama. That'd be nice.
I mean, Draymond and Dylan Brooks, you get them in a seven-game series, you might need some like extra security.
Security?
Really,
yes.
Like, on the
you need
court.
You need some more officials. Just make sure nothing happens.
Could I'm be awesome. Ready for it.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the final edition of the season of Preds Pick to Click. Here on the show, we will do that next. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. The final edition of Preds Pick to Click here for this season, coming up tonight as the Predators take on the Colorado Avalanche. Preds Pick to Click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds taking on the Avalanche. Avalanche trying to win the Central Division tonight, and we know, Joe, as I made clear yesterday, I've already won this competition, but I will go over the standings anyway.
Yeah.
I with 17 correct answers, the listeners with 14, Joe with 11, Michelle with 8 correct answers.
I didn't come in last.
You did not come in last. There's no doubt about that. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Scott, who is today's participant. Scott, thanks for calling in. Good morning. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Well, I was trying to pick between Cody Glass and Mr. Novak, but I think I'm going to go Mr. Novak today.
There we go. Scott going with Tommy Novak. Scott, thanks for calling in. So Novak is off the board. Joe, I'm up next, as I'm sure you'll be happy to learn in the competition here today. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go a little bit off the wall. I'm going to Ryan McDonagh. I like the way he's played. I think Ryan McDonagh scores tonight.
And what do you care? Sure.
I mean, I won.
Yeah, you already won.
Novak off the board, McDonagh off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I mean, you got to go with Parson in, right, after what he did last night?
I left him right there for you.
So, yeah, give me Parson. But Parson, I want something fancy.
A little flair to it.
Yeah, let's try a little lacrosse goal tonight.
Novak, McDonagh, Parsonen off the board. David James, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Well, guys, you know, I just want someone who can attack the goal, and I'm going Yak Attack.
Oh, yes. Yakov Trenin. A lot of Trenin love on the program here today.
I do.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Trenin.
We really have. There's been a lot of Yakov Trenin discussion today.
But, I mean, how could you not like Trenin, right?
Exactly.
Novak, McDonagh, Parsonen, and Trenin. These selections in Preds Pick to Click. Preds with their final game of the regular season tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. And if you missed the Juuso Parsonen goal last night, go check it out. It's pretty awesome. Number 2 on SportsCenter's top 10 plays between the legs for the game winner last night. And, you know, we talked about him before, Joe, but, you know, it's been unfortunate, number one, that they've had as many injuries as they've had as a whole, but that he wasn't a part of kind of the group here, because I look at his skating ability and his size that he has, and I still think he could be pretty darn good for this team as they move forward. You know, when he first got called up this year, you know, we had a conversation, and, you know, I said at that time, like, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be up here for a long time. And he has been up here since then, and I think he's going to be a pretty important part of what they do moving forward. But a good reminder last night of the skill that Yusuf Parsonen has.
Yeah. Then a little shrug.
A little shrug after.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And then after, for anybody who missed his post-game interview, he promised that he was about to dominate the league next year.
Yes. Just putting the league on notice. That's it.
There was a lot of bleeps were necessary.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good.
Not safe for work.
Yeah, for sure. So the
that
John
didn't really happen, by the way.
It did not.
No, it did not. No.
It did not. So the John Hines part of this discussion, we talked about it yesterday. I think just my read on the situation right now is that he's probably coming back. I don't know that. Could be totally wrong. That's just kind of the vibe, for lack of a better term, that I get, that John Hines is coming back next year to finish the last year of his contract. We'll see what happens on that front. My real question is, if that's the case and he is coming back, what is the reaction of the Predators fan base? How many people have shifted in their view of John Hines since the trade deadline, with all the young guys coming in and the job that they've done since then? How many people are still out on Hines? I would love to know what the reaction from Predators fans will be if it is announced that he is retained as head coach next year.
Here's the thing. If you're a Predators fan and you want a new coach and you don't think John Hines is good enough, that's fine. I mean, I can't sit here and argue with you and say, look at all this evidence that says he's a great coach. But if you're a Predators fan who thinks that, like, John Hines coming back next year is going to be, like, detrimental to the development of players, or that, like, his system is somehow not within the realm of, like, typical NHL hockey systems, you know, I think you're exaggerating a little bit. So I'm guessing he's back too. I'm not going to be totally shocked if Barry Trotz decides to move on. I do wonder how many people today now are going to start talking about Spencer Carberry because of Adam Vingan's called shot.
Maybe so.
Adam Vingan's called shot. Spencer Carberry, assistant coach in Toronto, a Trotz guy, a minor league coach with Trotz in Washington, who has been the ECHL and AHL coach of the year. Spencer Carberry.
41 years old. Maybe that's the route they go.
Maybe this has been the name all along. And Trotz is, you know, like, GMs have to have a little list of their coaches. Maybe he's been the top of the list all along.
Well, you discovered yesterday that players are on Sunday for their post-season, end-of-season media availability.
The plan, as I understand it, is that players will talk Sunday and that David and Barry will talk Monday, and I'm not sure about Hines.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously.
I guess if he's fired.
Well, he's probably not going to be talking. But obviously, like, that's going to be, until we hear from the powers that be on that front, that's going to be the main topic of conversation around the Preds the next few days, is what does it look like for John Hines moving forward?
Right. And the thing is, of course, well, do I go back and listen? Did you hear Jared's?
Yeah.
You did hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a critical exchange at anyone, you know?
I think non-committal, the word that he used, is probably the right word.
Yeah, okay. So I don't need to go back.
Look, it's up to you. If you want to, in his world, if you want to do your job, go back and listen, for God's sake.
Well, what I wonder is, I mean, it's been blissful for a year of having him muted on Twitter. Can you do that, like, on radio? Like, if you flip, like, I'm sitting, listen to our station, and then Jared starts talking, and it goes, wah, 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 and I don't have to hear what he says?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
I don't know that they've come up with that technology yet.
I've been told, no.
I mean, you got the Otter thing where they transcribe your audio now. Yeah, why can't they do something like this? I would like Jared muted on my radio, please. But no.
There are other ways to do that.
Yeah, Ian Safari, if you're listening, mute him.
Ian.
But, yeah, look, it's going to come up. It's going to be asked. And Trotz is probably, unless they decide they have to make a decision right now, he's probably going to say a lot of the same things, right?
I would agree.
It's a question that has to be asked, but
yeah, I mean,
the answer will come with the action.
The answer will come with the action, and we made the case yesterday. I mean, I look at the first half of the season, and it's hard for me to qualify it as anything other than a big disappointment with the way that this team played. And I look at everything that's happened since the deadline, and I think it's encouraging with the way some of the young guys have come in. Now, your job as Barry Trotz is stepping into this new role is to put all that together along with your evaluation, which is a unique evaluation, being a very successful head coach in this league. You have a perspective that nobody else has taking this job. What does that all mean when you factor it in together? I don't know, but we're just a few days away from finding out, I would guess.
Texter says, does the way the young players have been playing indicate the veterans were not able to or willing to embrace John Hines' system? I will say he does get credit for the end of the year and how they played and the run they made. But also, they were in that position because of how they underachieved and underperformed during the year. So 100%. Like, both things have to count. Will from Nashville says, where is Agent 31 on Hines now? He probably still hates him.
Oh, he was...
Let's keep Agent 31 going.
Let's keep
Will.
Agent
that's
31
that's my
going.
Key takeaway.
I mean, I think he's was undecided as of
which
7
is,
o'clock
which
this morning.
Which is a change for him. I mean, he's been – that's interesting.
It is.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe he really likes the job that John Hines has done with the young guys.
As someone
know.
Who listens to him way more than I do, yeah. Why is that?
I don't
why
know.
Has he changed?
I don't okay. know.
I'd love to know the fan breakdown. I do feel like, you know, there's a fair amount of fans who would like to see a coaching change.
You think Soros goes tonight?
Well, I asked you that during a break, and you said no, and you talked me into no. You know what? I mean, to me, it's like, can you help him in the Vezina? If he comes out tonight and locks down Colorado on a back-to-back, does that
so.
– I mean, he should be a finalist. He's not going to win it, right?
I don't he think also, he's going to be a finalist.
You don't think he's going to be a finalist?
No. I think he should be. I don't think he will.
Who's
be.
The third one?
Sorokin. I think will be a finalist.
Yeah. That'd be too bad. That'd be too bad for Soros. But that is also the cost sometimes of not making the playoffs.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.